I've had to learn how to interview people, right? Like, just really interview people. I'm sitting co-pilot in the seat. We're going to drive for a couple hours. We're going to go through a sales calls together. And I ask people, so, you know, in the sales process, what are you scared of? And what it really comes down to is letting other people down.
Every single message you deliver is really a sales call. Either you are selling or being sold. Salespeople love to brag about their skills. And the truth is, your success in closing sales depends on your skills, your abilities, and finding the right training. And the great news is, you have come to the right place here at the How to Sell Show with your hosts, Dale Bell and Scott Silvenbell. And be sure to join the party at howtosell.live and download your copy of The 10 Common Mistakes Salespeople Make.
So Scott, I want to talk about health of the salesman. I think it's really important on the health of a salesman when he goes out. And in right now on what I'm going to ask you about is I watch you personally. So I'm going to pick on you just a little bit. I watch you personally at family functions or different things like that. And something is not going right. You can read on your face really right now, hey, you freaking idiot, shut the heck up, or you get up and walk out.
Yeah.
Now, I know with what you're doing, you know, you've been in sales and you do sales and you still do sales, but you train salespeople. How do you train the salespeople to keep their blood pressure down? How do you train the salespeople to keep the look on their face as basically neutral? Now, you have to smile at the right time, and you might have to act like you're upset about something at the right time, but you can't be a total read. Can you kind of go over that a little bit?
Yeah. First off, it's not a sales call. It's a performance, right? We got to look at every opportunity that somebody goes out to sell. If they were a musician, they were going to get up on stage. They're going to play the same song. They're going to have to do the same chords. They might say, hey, Sacramento, right?
Exactly. You know,
and then tomorrow they're going to go, hey, Honolulu, right? But it's not a sales call. It's a performance.
That's an interesting concept. And, you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah. Well, I've taken a lot of sales training. I've been through a lot of sales training. And there is probably about 80% of the stuff out there I don't agree with and 20% that I do.
Okay. And how did you come to that idea?
In 2001, roughly right around 2001, I had just gotten my undergrad degree. So I had a degree in business and I started in insurance sales, and I was probably the seventh worst salesperson on the planet.
Only seven?
Yeah. There was probably seven guys in front of me that were worse than me. Six guys in front of me that were okay. Worse than me. And I had to learn how to sell. You know, back then I didn't know how to close. I really struggled. I didn't know how to ask questions the right way. I thought I knew. Right, I'd read a bunch of books. I thought I knew how to sell, but when it came down to it, I didn't.
Is that because you were book smart and not people smart at that point?
I think that it had a lot to do with ego. I think that a lot of it had to do with believing that I knew what I was talking about because I read a bunch of books. So I would agree with partially book smart, partially ego.
Okay.
And I crashed and burned. That's probably the best way to explain it.
Yeah. Well, we've all had that opportunity to do that. Yeah. And in different areas. And so some areas, we're talking specifically with what you do as heating and air on, you're able to shine with the heating and air, and the health of the salespeople that you work with, they grow greatly on that. Now you're branching out and you're working with some other types of services, but they are service industries.
Yeah.
What you teach, are you able to transform that, say, from a heating and air business to, let's say, a financial service business like the insurance?
Yeah. I would say that 95% of sales is universal, where some of it's going to be specific to an industry that is going to have to be used in that industry. The processes that I've taught in heating and air work in plumbing, I've taught a bunch of plumbers. The process that I've taught work in the insurance business. I've taught some guys from insurance. I've had some guys call me and ask for some coaching. A lot of the stuff that I teach is completely against the grain of thought of what most sales trainers think that sales is. If we take a look at sales, there was a lot of guys in the 50s and the 60s that started right at baby booming. The baby booming population, guys and girls came back from the war and they became consumers.
Absolutely. And they're, the baby boom generation.
Yeah.
Now we're dealing with a completely different generation.
Well, I mean, what other technology would somebody use that's 70 years old, right? Most people don't drive a 70-year-old car. They're out there. They're on the road, but you don't see them every day. You know, most people don't have a 70-year-old couch. Most people don't have a 70-year-old washer or dryer. They're out there. Don't get me wrong. But this is the way a lot of sales training has been taught, that, to say that, hey, this worked in 1970, which, you know, some of it does. But a lot of it was people were not buying savvy like they are today. They didn't have the internet. You know, they weren't able to look stuff up. It was, this was all brand new for them. You know, it was a roller coaster. It was like, hey, we can buy stuff. We're just pulling out of the Great Depression. We can buy stuff.
Yeah, I've taken some sales courses and had some of the scripting that's done on there, and try to make the people back in the day. And this is, you know, I've been in business now for 40 years, so a lot of sales training way back, where you ask the questions that make the people feel like idiots.
Yeah,
you know, and that doesn't work anymore, because most of them are up on whatever product you're selling, probably more than you are, because they have had that opportunity to check it out.
Oh, the average buyer now looks up anything that they're going to do on the internet and spends at least 20 to 30 minutes researching it, just so that they don't look silly and so they can't be taken advantage of.
Yeah, it's a whole different way of marketing.
Yeah.
So with that, yeah, everything is changing on the way sales is done.
Yeah, and the thing that I talk about that I don't really see anybody ever talk about is the mental health of a salesperson.
So when you talk about mental health of the salesperson, you're talking about somebody that's just totally wacko or depressed, or you,
no. You know? But see, when I bring that up, these are the type of questions that I get.
Sure.
Now, let's go through the process. You're in the pest control business. You have a pest control company.
Right.
You've had it for 40 years. It's successful. Do your guys have to wear protection? Do they have to wear gear?
Yeah, we call it PPE, personal protection equipment.
Okay. You've been around construction your entire life, so have I. A lot of guys have to wear safety harnesses. They have to wear gear to make sure that they're safe.
Yes, they do.
Okay. You take a look at dentists. My grandfather, your dad's a dentist. He had to start wearing gloves when he was working on people's teeth for safety. Right?
Yeah, they came in, and so many different safety things come in. Yes.
We could literally go from industry to industry to industry. But I take a look at salespeople, and I take a look at what they got to do. I ride with salespeople every single day, and I have for the last 6 years. So just imagine 6 years of somebody and riding co-pilot with salespeople and getting to hear what they really think. Okay? So part of my job is to be a sales trainer. Part of my job is to be a therapist.
What part do you like the best?
The part where they both combine and they work out together, where the therapy that I help them out with works and getting them to think about sales a different way. And to see them actually start making sales.
Glad to hear that, or I'd be disappointed in you. So you just sold me.
Yay. Cha-ching. But I find it interesting that every other industry we take a look at, they have to have safety devices. Now, what I'm going to say, I'm going to have to add some exclusions to, because sometimes people hear it the wrong way. I've rolled this out a couple of times and had people tell me that I'm absolutely crazy, which I'm okay with that. I've been made fun of my entire life. This isn't anything that I worry about. But I really think that if companies knew how much money they lost from salespeople not being mentally healthy, that they would somehow give them a course or give them a class and say, look, it's not weak of you to want to go see a therapist. You know, everybody wants to be the macho guy. There's a lot of alphas in the sales world, right? There are.
Absolutely. They just think they're the studs, and that's, they don't need anything.
And they don't. But there's also people who I would say on the other end are the betas in the sales world, right? But I've ridden with every type of salesperson you can imagine. I've ridden with the best of the best, and I've ridden with the people who really struggle. And I'll let you know, the conversation with any of those guys when they're struggling is the same exact conversation.
Okay. You know, as you're talking, I'm listening, and I'm also thinking about some of the things that have gone on, you know, even recently in our life with your grandma passing away and going in and get on your mom's mom and her passing away, and some of the way that has affected your mom that affects me. And I was talking to a friend and said, you know, we went in and we saw a counselor, and he says, oh, you have a coach. And what a better way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Is, you know, athletes get better by what?
A coach.
A coach. Yeah. You know, people get better by a coach. It doesn't have to be a therapist. It doesn't have to be a counselor. You are working as a coach. And, uh-huh. And I had never really thought of it that way. Even when you're talking about mental health, that somebody that's helping you out with your mental health is a coach.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, it was enlightening to me on just that comment.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of people have that stigma. Well, I'm talking to a counselor, you know, or even won't even want to say something like that. And we got somebody that's coaching us on some of the problems that we're having. That's great. So you out there coaching and helping people with problems that they're having, that's awesome.
So our common friend, Bob Beverly, him and I did an interview together when we have a product on rejection. Because there's not a product out there for salespeople at all, period, for rejection. I have one, right? It's 5 hours of me interviewing him and him interviewing me. Because I've been writing with people for 6 years. I know the ins and outs.
Yeah, and Bob Beverly has been a therapist for, what, 40 years? And,
40 years.
And been in therapy himself
for
years and years. And he's just an awesome guy. And with the opportunity you had to spend time back in New York with him for a couple of days to do the interview, it's awesome.
Yeah. So that's in the Superstore. We got the Bob Beverly How to Deal with Rejection class between with me and him. But you take a look. In every other industry, you have to have PPE, proper
personal protective equipment.
I want to say property. I'm a little bit off on that today. Personal protective equipment. Why shouldn't salespeople have the same? Why shouldn't they understand what rejection is? Why shouldn't they understand what depression is? And I think, and I see, I'm not even going to say I think, I see salespeople every single day waste leads because they don't know how to deal with the things that are going on in their life. Right? So which is more costly, to have a company say, hey, look, here's a couple classes on mental health. We're not telling you have to do it. We're just recommending that you could. And yeah, it's going to cost the company a little bit of money. And I understand in a capitalistic society, you know, you shouldn't have to pay for something like that. But let's think about what the real cost is. Let's say if you don't, what happens if you don't pay for it?
Kind of what we talked about earlier in one of the other segments that we talked about is the difference between cost and price.
Yeah.
You know, what is it costing you as a company not to do it?
Yeah.
Is it, you know, it's how much are you losing by not investing in the people that you have already? Training and bringing somebody on different, just because somebody could have used an hour's worth of therapy and could have changed their whole life, could have changed their whole sales process, and a company will go out and spend tens of thousands of dollars to train somebody else. Why not take that little bit of dollars to be more successful?
You know, I rolled this out. I went and trained a company in another area, and I rolled this out, and the owners kind of got a little bit irritated with me until they listened to what I was saying. They said, well, wait a minute. Maybe you're a little bit right here. Maybe we should, if we have salespeople, say, hey, look, here's a good couple books for you to read on rejection. Here's the phone number of somebody to talk to. You know, we're not going to pay for it. And a good therapist, you know, it's not always about the money, but a therapist is going to cost about $150 to $250 an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a couple hundred dollars easy to get a good therapist.
I mean, I've spent a lot of time in therapy. It's helped my sales process. You know, in the beginning, I was scared to admit it because there's a stigma there. Oh, you saw a therapist? Oh, you had to go talk to somebody? What's wrong with you?
That's why I said, coach, I really like that.
Yeah. But,
and you talked about the owners. You know, the owners had to buy in.
Yeah.
So first thing that you had to do was sell the owners. You're out there doing a sales course, and then all of a sudden you're bringing something up, and the owners don't like it. But you said until they started to listen.
Exactly.
You know, they want the right now, take care of it, but sometimes they don't want to do the listening on it, and so sometimes they're the hardest ones to train.
You want to know what analogy got them?
What's that?
I told them. You know, we can name superstars. Anthony Robbins, he's got coaches.
Yeah.
Right? Tiger Woods, golfer. He has somebody on dial anytime that he wants to talk to them. Why? Because he's got to get that chip off of his shoulder. He's got to get out of the funk. He's got to get whatever struggle that he's going with, he's got to get that out of his head before he can go and perform.
Well, even on the course, he's got his caddy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that caddy is a coach,
mm-hmm.
because the caddy knows what he's doing. The caddy's used to watching what he's doing. He sees the little different tweaks that he might be making and the differences that are going on. So, yeah, it's really important to have somebody there to watch and to help you when you need to make those different tweaks.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you through some of the questions that I ask somebody when I ride with them.
Okay, so you want me to answer the questions?
No, I just want you to you know, give your thoughts on what they are.
Okay.
Okay.
Because either way, I'd answer them too.
Oh, that's fine. You know, if somebody's struggling, my first question is, what major has happened in your life recently?
Yeah. Okay. The comment on that is just what we talked about 5 minutes ago, the death of your grandma.
Yeah.
And the effect that it had on your mom and what effect that had on me because of the effect on your mom. So yeah, major events can really screw up your whole life.
Okay. So if the guy's afraid to talk, because you know, sometimes when I ride with people, they don't know who I am. I get hired out. Hey, Scott, go ride with guy, get paid to go ride with him. So, you know, they don't know me from anybody. They just know me as a sales trainer. And so this is my diagnostic mode. If I was like, I used to be a heating and air tech. If I needed to diagnose something, I'd take out tools and I'd take a look at it. This is my diagnosis. You know, Dale, what's changed in your life? Oh, your wife had, her mom died. Okay.
Right.
That's a significant event. So I'll go through what the major events are.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Because you're getting in you brought this up. You're getting into a vehicle with somebody that you don't know.
Correct.
Do you make yourself vulnerable before you ask those questions?
Sure.
Or, yeah.
You know, I'll tell my story. I'll tell you my story real quick.
Okay.
You know, I was dating this girl. I flew out to Hawaii. She was living out there. We got engaged. And 10 days later, she called and broke up with me because she got married the night before.
Wow.
I've been rejected.
I just learned something. I didn't realize even as your dad that you'd got engaged.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But, you know, there's a lot of shame with rejection.
Absolutely.
And, you know, part of that is the pain that people want to run and hide from. And, you know, it took a long time for me to admit what had happened. And so I get in the vehicle and I talk to guys and I say, hey, look, here's what happened. You know, I want to tell you a little bit about me and where I come from and all the sales training that I've been through and the things that I've gone through. So I want you to know that whatever you tell me, you're going to have a tough time topping me. I kind of make it a challenge. Right? I make it okay by me being not okay.
No, that's really interesting, Scott, because just like you said, that is, you know, that just shocked me. On what you just said, because that was something that you've never discussed. We've discussed that relationship before,
sure,
but have never gone to that point of it. So yeah, it's things that you hold close and you don't want to let go of. And so you have to make yourself vulnerable so people will open up to you also.
Yeah. And a lot of people, they kind of go like, oh, I get it. You know, that's pretty bad rejection.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a lot to live through. I had a lot of struggles. My sales process tanked. So when somebody's struggling, these are the key indicators. Get a house, lose a house. Okay? Let's just say it goes into foreclosure, whatever reason.
Sure.
Get a car, lose a car. Okay?
Big events.
Get a girlfriend, lose a girlfriend. Get a wife, lose a wife. Get a husband, lose a husband. It could be a death. It could be a breakup. It could be something bad. Okay?
Okay.
It could be a vacation.
Okay, explain that one.
You know, they say that a lot of times the most productive time for somebody is before they go on a vacation. That's not always true. it's something that's going on in their mind. It could be they're having struggles with a kid. I rode with a sales guy yesterday, really nice guy. He's very good at what he does. He's probably one of the top people that I know when it comes to this industry that I rode with him for. His son is hooked on cocaine. And he's worried about his son.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Okay. And because he's worried about his son, he's got a lot on his mind. He's worried about what's going on with him. This is a big event. Okay.
No doubt that's a big event.
That's son's 23. I'm going to leave it at that because I don't want to go any much further of who this person is. But, you know, he was talking to me and I was a therapist yesterday. We rode for 45 minutes and he opened up to me and told me what was going on. And I asked him when we were done, do you feel better? And he says, yeah, I'm going to go back and sell now.
Yeah, you got to get it off your chest. There's no doubt.
And, you know, the argument against this that I hear people say is, once again, this isn't a company's problem. And I would agree to an extent until we start taking a look. Let's take a look at the numbers. You have a sales guy who is running a lead, and marketed leads in any industry are quite expensive. I do a lot of work in heating and air and a lot of work in plumbing. And depending upon the time of the year, a marketed lead could cost between $500 and $1,000 to get the phone to ring once. What are your numbers in pest control?
Our numbers right now, just to get the phone ring, is about $500 a phone ring.
$500 a phone ring. Okay.
Yep.
And if you had to give a lead to a sales guy knowing that that lead was $500 and he was in a funk, would you want to give it to him?
Not a chance.
Right?
Yeah.
What would you be willing to do to help that guy out?
Pretty much just anything that I could if I had confidence in him that he could do the job.
Sure. You want to keep the machine going. So, you know, you get your car, you get your oil changed on your car. right?
Yeah.
But, you know, Bob Beverly gave me like one of the best examples, because we've talked about him, is he said, look, when your car breaks down, you go to a mechanic. If your tooth hurts, you go to a dentist. What do you do if your head hurts or your heart hurts? Who do you go to?
A lot of times, nobody.
Okay.
I mean, for me, yeah. I mean, it has been hard to say, hey, I got to put it out there. I got to tell somebody.
Yeah.
It's hard to open up.
And part of that is the shame to admit, hey, here's what happened, right? I didn't, after my breakup happened in 2008, I didn't want a lot of people to know. Because like the question that I had in my head was, well, what's wrong with me? You know, what's wrong with me that I can't keep somebody interested in me? And it was like, it was my fault. But these are the type of questions that salespeople ask. It's not just rejection when it comes to relationships. It's also rejection when it comes to a sales process. What's wrong with me? And if I say that there's something wrong with me, am I admitting something really bad?
So if you get the salesman to actually get to the point of saying what's wrong with me out loud, then they're ready to be helped.
It's like cracking the code on a safe, right? They might come out and say it a couple of different ways. Is there something wrong with me? Or I thought it was only me. I thought it was only me that felt this way.
What am I doing wrong?
Yeah. I thought that I was doing something wrong. What am I doing wrong? There's a whole bunch of different ways for them to say it. But as soon as that safety of saying, look, you can open up to me, right? You can, don't tell me about anything illegal that you're doing. Cause if I got to go to court, I'm going to testify against you.
Yeah.
Right. But a lot of times people are ashamed to admit that they're struggling. They're going to play it off, because a lot of sales is about being the alpha. A lot of sales is about being in charge. And a lot of sales is about, I'm better than everybody else.
Yeah, I just looked at something of, and you've done it before, but I'm looking at doing it with my whole company next week, and a couple of different companies that I own, and going through the bragging process. When you just said that, and it's kind of a fun process to go through, but it helps people build themselves up and feel better about themselves. But talking about their mental health on that's building them up. But they can also, at the same time they're doing that, they can get some insights of, hey, really, I'm not doing this, even though I'm building myself up. These are the things that I need help with.
You know, when I ask people, I ask them, what are they scared of? Well, what are you scared of? You know, I've had to learn how to interview people, right? Just really interview people. I'm sitting co-pilot in the seat. We're going to drive for a couple hours. We're going to go through a sales calls together. And I ask people, so, you know, in the sales process, what are you scared of? And what it really comes down to is letting other people down. I'm going to, if it's install, like heating and air, I'm going to let the installers down because they're not going to have work. I'm going to let my family down because we're not going to have money. I'm going to let the people down around me because I can't keep the promises that I was supposed to.
So knowing that could send me as an owner in a different position.
Yeah.
I can't believe you're going to let me down.
Yeah.
that's kind of a little bit of reverse psychology and probably a bad thing to look at.
You could hurt somebody's ego really bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that. That's not where I'm coming from, but it's just looking at it and saying, okay, that does make sense. You could knowing that, you could actually play against somebody, and that would be the wrong way to do it.
Yeah. You would think that it would motivate them, but it would make them feel worse riding with them.
And I could see that at that point too, people don't want, they definitely don't want to let you down. And if they feel like they let you down, they leave you.
Yeah. Yeah. Most companies, the people who leave a company aren't usually leaving the company. They're leaving management. So yeah. This is if there was somebody listening and they're like, okay, Scott, so what do I do? One of the best things is I'm a huge fan of praise. You know, I twisted my back a couple weeks ago trying to pat myself on the back.
Yeah, I noticed you couldn't walk for a while.
you know, so praise is a big deal. And sometimes we just think that, you know, somebody's getting paid for a paycheck. But you have, as if you could see and hear the conversations that I have with people, and you were able to hear and see what somebody does when they hear a good job. Okay. So if I ride with somebody, this is the way that it rolls with me. We look for four things that they did right. Okay.
Always look for something they're doing right.
Well, we're going to look for four things. I need to know four things that you felt went right in this call.
Okay.
Three things that you felt like you could have changed. Make slight modifications.
All right.
Two things that you identified where you lost the buyer.
Okay.
And one thing you could have done differently. So I start out, look, you did four things right. Good job.
So you're the one that you tell them the four things that they did.
No, they tell me.
Okay.
But so they identify them. Tell me four things that you did right. And then, you know, depending upon which direction they go, I might change it and coach it up a little bit. But the thing is whether they sold the job or not, they need to hear good job.
Yes.
Okay. And I know that that sounds completely different than what you would think. And there could be people who disagree with me and go, hey, that's absolutely crazy. But it takes courage to go into a sales call. Right?
Yeah, it does.
And you know, most people will not go in and face rejection at the way that every other salesperson will. You know, I know it sounds crazy to say good job, but I'm congratulating them what they did right. I'm not saying good job for everything. Good job you lost a sale. I'm saying good job you did a couple things right.
That makes so much sense. Over the years of being an employer and doing things like that, praise has been something that even when you were younger, I didn't know how to do.
Yeah.
And it was something that probably one of the reasons that you left working for me is because I didn't tell you enough times on how, you know, thank you or doing a good job. Over the years, I've worked on that. And it's interesting to see how the reaction of my service technicians, my sales technicians, all of that, because I don't do it every day, but I usually pick one or two of them as they're walking by and saying, hey, thanks for a great job today. I haven't even seen what they've done.
Yeah.
But I tell them, thank you for being at work and thanks for a great day. And the attitude that that makes and the upbeat for them for the next day is incredible.
Well, you know, most people think that somebody needs to get money to get them to move forward. And that's not always the case. Sometimes two people want to be recognized. Hey, I know you're working hard. You know, the guys, I have 10 guys that I train every Friday. They're in a program that I teach. And I always start out by telling them good job. Because I never want to start the class on a negative. But I know that if they're listening to me and they get good mental health of what they're doing when we start the class, that they're going to actually listen to what I tell them to do. And the guys who implement, they're rocket ships. They're killing it in the industry.
So for today, the thing that we spend a lot of the time on is talking about the mental health. And it is important for mental health, the salespeople, that they get the help that they need, whether it's a therapist to find out what's the big thing that just happened in your life,
yeah,
to get you going. And then it's also for the employers to say, hey, what is it costing me by not taking care of the mental health of my sales staff?
Sure. And mental health doesn't mean that you have to pay for a therapist. Mental health could be like, we're going to bring a therapist in and tell you about what's healthy and what's not healthy. They'll do it, right? It could be, here's a good book on rejection. It could be, you know, go see a therapist. There's nothing wrong with seeing a therapist or a coach, whatever word that you want to use. But recognizing, hey, how much money is being left on the table by ignoring this whole process?
Last thing that I'm going to say today on it is, you talked about getting a therapist, getting a book. There's a lot of different things that can help people out. And there are some even movies that are fun to watch.
Sure.
But, or videos that are available there that can help people that are in that type of funk. And I know, you know, one of them that I'm talking about is called Fish.
Yeah.
And it's awesome because it talks about attitude and treating somebody right and making somebody else's day.
Yeah.
You know, if I can make somebody else's day for that day, I'm a winner.
Well, I'm going to leave with this, that if whether somebody can afford it or not, there's therapists out there at any price level, right? There's a lot of programs out there. Sometimes a priest, a preacher, a religious figurehead could be a therapist. Sometimes it could be a coach.
Good friends.
But the whole thing is to get it off your chest.
Right.
It turns into like a septic poison if you just sit there and let it build up inside you, right? If I were to sit here and let it build up inside of me, it would create a lot of problems.
Well, great. We're looking forward to the next segment.
Cool. Let's do it.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the How to Sell Show. You can join the party at howtosell.live to get the show notes, links, updates on new episodes, recordings of previous episodes, articles, as well as videos. You may not know this sales secret, but sharing this episode with a friend will bring you good luck. See you soon. Mahalo.